is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Wanted to talk today about another aspect of education and getting through the current year. Superintendent Michael Asher from the Douglas Education Service District. And Michael, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, it's my pleasure, Kyle. It's always fun for me. Thank you
so
for asking.
Talk about how the school year is going for the Douglas ESD staff and how they're holding up.
Well, I think they're doing as well as can be expected. It's certainly been a very tumultuous year. Since March and April of last year, we've been people have been trying to work from home and have been doing working from some distance. And I think that's gone really, really well. I mean, surprisingly well. Many of the positions that we have that don't work directly with students, for example, people have shown that they've been really good about, in our finance department, for example, or in different parts of administration or human resources. They're just doing a fabulous job of keeping up with the work and actually getting more done than when they were in the office in some cases. So we've certainly learned a lot. I think those folks and all of our staff is pretty much done with COVID, or we'd like to be done with COVID, but I think we've got a few more months of restrictions and challenges ahead of us, and if we can get through those, I think we're going to come out the other side really well.
You mentioned a lot of people working from home. Talk about some of the modifications you've had to make, and we started out in the spring, of course, where this just kind of came overnight, and of course, for the fall, the objective was to be able to roll it out a little better.
Yeah, and I think both the ESD and the school districts it was a great opportunity over the summer to really implement some new technologies that we maybe didn't have before, or get better at technologies that we have had. My background, as you know, Kyle, is in information technology prior to being in public administration and superintendency. I just think back about 10 or 15 years ago, if we would have had a pandemic then, there's no way we would have been able to, I mean, even though there was the internet, there wasn't necessarily the number of broadband connections that people would have at their home or in the office. And I mean, every day I do somewhere between, three and six video conferences, sometimes with our executive team or administrative staff, sometimes with a department head, sometimes with superintendents from around the state. We have weekly meetings with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer and the superintendents for Douglas County. And, it's worked remarkably well. I'm just very, very grateful that we are in the age that we are, and the technology is mature enough that it's allowing us to be as productive as we are.
Now, for the Douglas ESD, as you're providing different services for various school districts, especially as the school year started, some were in person, or some were in person with certain grades, others were mostly or all remote.
Right.
I mean, it's all been shifting around. And yet at the same time, you've got staff that are dealing with all of these different school districts. That had to be particularly stressful in itself.
Yes, it is, I think. We've tried to the best of our ability to accommodate all of and provide direct services to the districts that are still doing in-person education, and also providing distance, for example, speech therapy. Sometimes that's provided via distance. As sort of the knowledge about the virus and the spread of the virus has grown, we have been able to come up with ways to do more in-person evaluations and instruction when it's something that we do as far as special education or mental health. But a lot of it is still being done virtually. And, I've got to say that there are there are certain, you may have heard that, you know, there, and I completely agree that there is a digital divide between the students that have high speed connections and those that that don't. And there's a significant portion of Douglas County students that are not able to access the internet in a very meaningful way, and I think that affects them very badly. But we've also seen, I think districts would also say that they've seen a percentage of kids, 15, maybe even 20% of the kids and parents who feel that their child is doing a really good job at home and at the distance education that's being provided. And I think districts have gotten much, much better at delivering that with all the practice that they've got.
It appears this school year is especially stressful for not only the students and the parents and the staff. A lot of juggling. Do you have concerns about times where doing education this way is less effective?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone would agree that this is not ideal as a way of delivering education across a wide variety of students' abilities and student needs. I think what we have learned is that this is probably, distance education is likely to remain with us after the pandemic is over. I think there is a small, you know, but significant population of students who probably will do better if they are allowed to take classes via distance. And I think many of the districts in the county and are thinking about that in the future, that they will offer this as an option. Certainly teachers have gotten a lot of practice and much better at it. They have the tools to be able to do it. And I would expect that you'll see some of that next fall happening. As pertains to, you know, what's being lost this year, there's a lot. Students have lost opportunities. I think there's been a tremendous amount of tremendous number of students that have become disengaged with their education, meaning they, you know, have dropped out of school. They may be doing homeschool, and that may be working well for them, or maybe not. And then you have students that have just sort of fallen through the cracks. And I think districts have done as good a job as possible at trying to find those students and reach out to them. But, you know, without sports, without clubs, without the social aspect of school, that particularly the upper grades, I mean, I think I went to high school, and many people did, for the as much for the social aspect as the educational aspect. But and without that, I think it's really hard to keep kids motivated, in some of the kids motivated in their studies. I do hope that, and I do think that there will be a number of initiatives from districts, certainly from our ESD and from the state, in re-engaging students in the coming year as the pandemic wanes. I think there's really going to be a lot of emphasis on getting kids back in the building, back in structures, but also using what's been learned this year as a way of broadening the base of support to kids who need it.
Did you think from K to 12 across the board that in future years, presuming that we get back into more normalcy by the upcoming school year, that we're going to be playing catch up with kids' education?
You know, I think there's a lot of difference of opinion about that. As someone said here recently that I heard, you know, kids are always learning. They're learning, you know, from the moment they wake up until the moment they go to bed at night. And it's just, school is about what are they learning about, and trying to make sure that it's advancing them in their careers and their knowledge of the world, their civic responsibilities, and those types of things. I think that whatever is being lost to the generation of children that are in school now, it's really universal. And I mean, it's every country on the planet is having problems with COVID, and it's certainly every child in the United States is being affected by, and their education is being affected by COVID. And I think rather than, I mean, from my perspective, rather than talking about how are we going to catch up, I think what we ought to be talking about and what I think many people will be saying is we really need to be thinking about how do we apply what we've learned and the resources that we have to the individual needs of every child. I think what we've seen in this pandemic is, if you think about the, you know, just any sort of bell curve, education does a really good job at teaching to the middle of the bell curve. And up until the pandemic, you know, that may have been 70 or 80% of the student population. You know, there was, and then there were special needs children on one side, or children with special needs on one side. And then there were, CAG kids on the other. And the public schools have done a great job of teaching to the fat part of that curve, I should say. I think what's happened is that curve has flattened and spread out. I think there's kids that have really spread out along that curve, and I think there's a lot, will have to be a lot more differentiation in instruction as, you know, some kids who are at a particular age may be behind in their studies, and other kids at a particular age may be ahead, and that differentiation between kids may be more pronounced next year as we see them coming back than it has been in previous years.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Michael Asher, superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District. The interview, a podcast after 1, 1247. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, and Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. And Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District with us now. Have you had to add additional staff or maybe repurpose people, adjust job descriptions to get everything going for this school year?
Yes, we have, Kyle. We have a number of folks. I would say that that's happened in probably only about 5% of the employees that we have. We have a number of educational assistants who work in our early childhood special ed classrooms, which are 3 to 5 year olds, and they have. There was a time prior to Thanksgiving that we were in. Doing in-person instruction, but then as the case rate rose and the governor's new directive came out, we went to distance learning there. We have some of those folks being trained to be contact tracers with public health to be able to assist them when there is an outbreak in schools and there needs to be a contact tracing of students and their families. We've also asked them to take on a variety of other responsibilities in an effort to stay busy and stay productive. And folks, by and large, have been really easygoing about that. I mean, everyone is, our entire staff is pulling together. They're trying to help districts. They're helping families. They're doing it in the best way that they can, given the circumstances. But I am so proud of their dedication and desire to continue to do whatever possible to assist students, families, and districts.
Has the ESD had impacts to funding or maybe the funds you need to deal with this year's challenges?
You know, we have not. Fortunately, the legislature in the August special session sort of reaffirmed. They made some small cuts in education in some very selective places. But as far as our ESD funding and many of our contracts that we have with the state of Oregon, those have been essentially guaranteed. We believe we're whole through June 30th of 2021. I think all ESDs and school districts are a little bit on edge about the upcoming legislative session and what the budget will hold for education. I personally was very heartened by the governor's draft budget that she sent to the legislature a week ago, which we still had very, very strong support for education. It's the education budget coming out of the governor's office is usually sort of the beginning of the conversation with the legislature. And I know the education lobby in various, you know, whether it's the Confederation of School Administrators or the Oregon School Boards Association are always looking to increase education funding when they speak with the legislature, who ultimately decides what the funding level of the schools are going to be.
What about issues with kids or families in areas with poor internet or Wi-Fi? You mentioned that, and I'm curious how the challenge has been dealt with. I mean, for some of the providers, it's not something you can fix overnight.
No, it isn't. I want to give a shout out to Douglas Fastnet, who is has been a tremendous partner in this effort to get kids connected and upgraded. They have done just a marvelous job. I can't speak highly enough of their dedication. They've been on a dead run since probably before March, trying to get people, families and kids better connected to the internet. Some districts are having, there's a variety of strategies that are being used. The Boys and Girls Club in Roseburg has a couple of sessions where students can come in and provide and get access to the internet if they want to work on their lessons and schoolwork and they need internet access. There have also been some faith communities, churches that oftentimes have fast internet, and they've invited their parishioners to come in and, you know, be safe and socially distance and wear masks and all that. But, you know, as a place for kids to get internet access, and districts have also are moving to, if they are not doing instruction in person, many of them are moving to what's called limited in-person instruction. And that is sort of a two-hour window where kids can come in, work on their studies, get updates, and then go back home.
What about up the road? What do you think can be learned from this time in terms of maybe some long-term changes to how education works?
Well, as I said previously, what I'm really hopeful for is that we will see the way education is delivered in a much broader context, rather than and that we will really try to meet the needs of all kids at every level of their education. I think that. You know, as I mentioned, it might be continuing to have distance learning classes for kids. I think it might also include more higher level access for kids who have who are particularly gifted, and I think it's additional supports for children who may have special needs or learning disabilities. I think there's that. I think we're going to broaden the base of education, or at least that's what I hope we do, rather than try to narrow it and, you know, get all kids in one box. I think we need to have lots of different boxes to meet the needs of where kids are and then move them on and so that they can be as productive as possible and achieve whatever they'd like.
And about 30 seconds left. There's already a national shortage of teachers. Do you think some teachers that qualify for retirement are more likely to look that direction with all the stress of being in education right now?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to our human resources director, Holly Hill, about that lately. There certainly is some conversation at administrative circles about that possibly happening. The ESD continues to recruit substitute teachers to fill in, And we'd sure like to hear from you if you have any interest in teaching.
All right, Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for being on this afternoon.
My pleasure, Kyle. Have a great day and stay safe.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.